please turn in your Bibles to Genesis 18, 17, which we finished 18 and most of 19 last week, but we're going to go back and look at one thing for those that are just picking it up today. Weren't there last week, and because our study last week was dealing with Abraham and Sarah, were visited by God and two angels, and the Lord and the two angels tell Abraham that the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be judged because of their wickedness. God first says to Abraham and Sarah, you're going to, at 9 months, basically 9 months from now, you're going to have a child, the long promised child that you've been waiting for and not patiently at times, is going to come in 9 months. So that's the first thing. And that's important for our study today to remember that. And then he says, and Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed. Cities that are about 30 some miles away east of the Jordan, or, you know, down by the Dead Sea River area. In fact, people think that the Sodom and Gomorrah were actually where the Dead Sea, south part of the Dead Sea is now. It just, everything collapsed and was destroyed in the judgment. And we're going to destroy it. And we saw that Abraham was saying, wow, God, how can you do that? And we found out that there weren't even 10 righteous people in those cities. But God did send the angels down to rescue Lot, and it intended to rescue Lot and his family. But all that were able to be rescued because of unbelief and rebellion and sin against God was just Lot and his two daughters. And we're going to this week see what happens to Lot. But we're also going to be doing a little bit of a topical today, and why we study the Bible, explain an answer. You know, it's really based on a phone call I got yesterday from somebody that was just asking for counsel, because she was just saying, I'll call her Jill. Jill called up and says, Kevin, these things are happening in this pastor that we knew. He's completely left the church organization he was with, and he's planting a new church, and we've known him. He used to preach Jesus. Now he's not. He's into this Bethel Church, Bill Johnson, power, and everything's about power, and go to the school of power, you know, and disciple, and she goes, I just don't know what to tell people. People are telling me, you know, why are you always questioning this? Why, you're always just into Jesus. And she goes, like, what's wrong with that? But she goes, I just don't know what to tell them. And actually, what helped her out was applying the last couple studies to her life. And I'll explain that here in a minute. Just the last couple studies explain something that's happening in the church today. As I've been emphasizing, the Word of God, we study it because it applies to everything that's happening in our life, even today. And I'll, you know, give you the details of that here in a minute. But in Genesis 18, 17, I kind of skipped over this, but it's necessary for this topical emphasis today. And the Lord said, when he and the angels came to Abraham's tent, he said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Which is that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. He's telling the angels, should I hide from Abraham what I am going to do in judgment? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And so here's the point that I want to make as we turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. I want to emphasize, you know, circle, underline Genesis 18, 19, for I have known him. This should be the most sought after thing of every soul on the face of the planet. I want to be known by God. And I want to know God. See, I want to know God and I want to be known by him. I want him to know my name. I want him, and we know that he knows our name when we bow to him and we have faith in him. It says that Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him for righteousness. We saw in an earlier chapter. And see, when we believe God, what do we have to believe about God for his righteousness to be imputed upon us? We have to believe and trust in his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. The biblical Jesus. As soon as we do that, with a humble heart, no motivation other than I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. He is the only Savior. As soon as we do that, something real happens. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us, and we are known by God. And He's going to give us a new name, it says in Revelation. We're going to have a new name. We have citizenship in heaven. We have our passport to heaven. And there's nothing more important. But there's a lot of people in the church today and in the world today that they aren't known by God. But the people in the church, they think they're known. And what Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, what? I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Don't want to hear that, right? We don't want to, I belong to this church. I went to the Bethel School of Power, and I was casting out demons, and I was telling people they need to be healed. And Jill was telling me, not a real name, Jill was telling me, Kevin, you know, they talk about how it's just part of the atonement of Jesus dying on the cross was that everybody's supposed to be healed, and we just got to have the new apostles are upon us, because it's new apostolic reformation is the cult group that I'm talking about. And it's like they're just there, and they're going to have the power. If they go to this school of ministry, they're going to have the power, and everybody's into this. Hundreds of thousands of people are into this all across the country. Fill up stadiums by these modern-day so-called self-proclaiming prophets. Did Jesus come to make us all so we could just do miracles? Is that what he came to do? And well, they got their verse. It says, greater works than these you shall do in my name. And they'll pull a verse here and they'll pull a verse there. What's a greater work? Being able to pray for somebody and they get healed in Jesus' name, or that you tell somebody about the gospel of Jesus and they get on their knees and they humble themselves and they become a believer in Jesus? Which is the greater miracle? The first one might only get them healed for a while. And then I told Jill, I said, you can ask this pastor that has gone off the rails. See, she was just shocked. He used to be a preacher of Jesus in the Bible, and now he's into Bethel. And I said, go tell him to go to the hospitals and empty him out. If you really got the power, and if you don't have the power, don't preach the power. See, Jesus did not come to create a special lightsaber that just causes everybody's physical problems to go away. Because in this world, we will have tribulation. Read about Paul. Was Paul just glorying in the fact, every place I go, I heal everybody, I've never had problems, I've always been rich, I've never been persecuted, I've never been beat up, never been shipwrecked. And so, is that what Paul said? No, he says, I've been penniless. I have been without the proper clothing. I have been without food. And see, here's the deal, is that not only does God know us, but we have to know him to keep from being deceived in this deceptive world. How do I know him? What do I have to do to know God? I have to know his word. I have to know his word. Most people that are being sucked up into this are doing so because they have no idea what God has revealed about himself in his word. And they're being deceived. And we also see that, and I want to emphasize in Genesis, and you don't have to go back there, because we're going to go to John chapter 5, verse 42 next. God said, shall I hide from Abraham prophecy? Should I hide from Abraham what I am going to do? Well, no. Why? Because I know him. So here's the other interesting thing. Those people that are into biblical prophecy, which everybody should be, there's a lot of prophecies haven't been fulfilled yet, tells us what's going to happen. Not Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed, but tell us about how the world's going to be in the last days. It's for people that God knows and that know him. And it would also spare everybody to fall into this new apostolic reformation deception if they just believe the prophecies of the future. See, they believe, they have the same deception as Satan gave to Eve. Jesus didn't really come to just do this cross and dying on our sins for us. He came to show us how we could actually have his power if we accomplish the same Christ consciousness. This is New Age in the church, that we could be empowered with the cosmic power of God because we're God. It's really a deception into we just have to find that niche to be like God. And so there's quantum spirituality and all these other books that are being put out by these false prophets and stuff. And so it's like, well, but the prophecy says that the world is going to get further and further away from God. Are we seeing that? Is the whole world turning away from God and His Word? There's going to be a time of apostasy where even the church is going to turn their ears away from the truth of words, God's Word, and heap unto themselves teachers, YouTube pastors, books, you know, all this other stuff, blogging posts, everything else, turn away themselves from the truth, heaping unto themselves teachers having itching ears, telling them what they want to hear. Well, do I want to hear I have to flee from sin? You know, God says, be holy for I am holy. He says that New and Old Testament. Walk with Him, study to show myself approved. Or do I want to hear you get to be like the power of God and you're going to be able to do this and you can be like one of the apostles? You know, our flesh wants to accomplish great things, just like Matthew chapter 7 said. Didn't we do this and this and this and this and this? And that's not what it's about. It's about Jesus. And by the way, Jill said, this guy is just not about Jesus anymore. You know you're being deceived when it's not about Jesus. You know that you're being deceived even in the way you conduct your life. If when you go out in the byways and the highways and your family and your friends, if you're not thinking, how can I get Jesus into this conversation? How can I get Jesus and what He's done on the cross for us and the resurrection of the dead to give life? If we're not thinking about that, we're being deceived by the world. John chapter 5, verse 42, Jesus said, but I know you, scribes and Pharisees that hated Jesus, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. How did He know that? What did Jesus say? You say you love God. If you love God, if you love Moses, if you love that, you would love me because they wrote of me. So you can't believe in God without believing in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. I know you. You do not have the love of God in you. If you have the love of God in you, you love the biblical Jesus. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Looking for a man leader. And see, that's a prophecy that's going to be fulfilled when the Jews get deceived by the coming Antichrist of the global government. See, the Bible, you know, see this new apostolic reformation, they say this power is going to come through these new apostles to empower the true church, the young generation that are ignorant of the Word of God. We're going to brainwash the ignorant generation into this occultic power, and there is power in occultism and deception. And they're going to be the chosen generation, the royal priesthood of the last days to usher in the kingdom of God here on earth. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's going to be this turning away, this apostasy. Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, will I even find faith on the earth when I come? He says that when He comes to set up, when He brings His kingdom, not man bringing His kingdom, when He brings His kingdom, that there's going to be almost nobody left on earth. So prophecy for those that God gives it to, the ones who love Him, the ones who are known by Him, the ones who know God and it's so clear, they're realizing how this ends. And so when these other people say, oh no, we have a different plan. And so this is what I told Jill. I said, Jill, it's just like what we've been studying in Genesis. You know, in the 70s, the church was so into Jesus coming back. It was all about Jesus. It was all about the gospel and the Jesus movement. And we thought it was so soon. But then it went away. It's kind of like when Abraham got promised at 75 years old, you're going to have a kid, and he's excited. He's been waiting 75 years for, or thereabouts, 55 years, for a kid. And now he's been promised, but as 10 years go by, then what? Then he says, well, let's do it on our own. I'll take Hagar and we'll make Ishmael. And I said, that's what the church has done. The devil has used these false pastors to seduce the church that came out of this anticipation. And now that it's been too many years and Jesus hasn't come back, says, you know what? That's not how it ends. It doesn't end that way. This is how it ends. We get the power of God because you go to this Power for Abundant Living kind of class, and we're going to just teach you, and the church is going to take over the world. And now everybody's flocking to it. So in a sense, we're repeating the whole Ishmael thing. That we're not going to let the God do it his way and take his church, and for the emphasis to be, we're not going to keep living by faith. We're going to do it our way. We're going to bring the kingdom our way. Not going to happen. And then go back to Genesis 19 while I read this Galatians chapter. Galatians chapter 4 verse 9, it's in your notes. But now, after you have known God, we get to know him through his word, or rather are known by God. What's more important? I can know a little bit about God. I don't want to know a little bit about God. I want to know a lot about God, and I definitely want to know about God enough to know that he knows me. So that's why Paul says, or rather that you're known by God. How is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Even in Paul's day, the false teachers were coming in and saying, oh, Jesus, you know, Jesus was really great. You know, he was awesome. But you got to get circumcised. You got to play this Jewish stuff. You got to have human effort injected into the equation of your walk with God. And then Paul grieved for them. So I'll ask everybody here, it was kind of came up in the communion time, but are you known by God? You should be able to say emphatically, I know I am known by God. Because you, how do I know? Because you know him. Because you've sensed his presence inside you. Because you know he's spoken to you by the power of his spirit and his word. Should have happened because it's real. What we believe in is a real deal. So now we're skipping to the angels of God coming into Sodom to blind the men. You know, we're kind of away from the topical and coming back to our study here. And we covered this last week, but doing so again to kind of segue from the topical. They come to Sodom, they blind the men of the city who are trying to rape the angels. And then the angels tell Lot to get out. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-laws. They said, you better get your family out of here because judgment's coming. And he went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, meaning that he had at least two married daughters in addition to the two virgins that are going to be escaping from the city, who had married his daughters and said, get up and out of this place for the Lord will destroy the city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. We emphasized this last week. Why was it hidden from them? It was hidden from these guys because they weren't known by God. See, basically, Lot was saying, hey, the prophecy of God says this city is going to be destroyed. They go, you're kidding. It's not going to happen. Why? Because they didn't know God. Because God didn't know them. Because if you don't know God and God doesn't know you, you think this is all foolishness. That's the way of the world. They look at this as foolishness. And it doesn't matter how many times it's been fulfilled. It doesn't matter if it's happening before their very eyes. They are absolutely spiritually unable to understand. It is hidden from them. But for us, I pray, I'm into prophecy, have been for my entire Christian walk. It's been healthy for me. And I only get more enthralled with the fact that God so loves us that he tells us what's going to happen in the future. We can get the timing wrong. You know, I have had the timing wrong. I have thought we would be gone by now. But nothing about what is going to happen has changed. It's only been strengthened by seeing how close we are to the events that God prophesied to be in the last days being here. Going to Genesis 19:22. So nobody here is thinking that when Jesus says the end is coming and we're going to all the world is going to perish and the lust thereof, and the whole world is going to turn and believe in this Antichrist, and they're going to worship the devil. And there's not revival coming. There's complete craziness and devil worship coming upon this country. Do you believe that? It's not foolishness to me. It's coming. And, it's just, people have, Monday night, Friday, watching the TV was on, it was, WWE, and you see that I guess they made a big deal on Fox, World Wrestling Entertainment. And some people say it's world's worst wrestling, you know, world's worst wrestling entertainment. But I sat there in amazement, just saying, I mean, tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of dollars of people just wanting to watch a totally fake thing. And so when he looked it up and, you know, why do people watch this? And it was like, and one of the people was saying, well, why do you watch movies? Everything that's on the media is fake. And I go, you know, that's interesting. It's true. Everything in entertainment is all fake. And here we have the truth. And people say, oh, forget the truth. I don't want to read the truth. I don't want to know the truth. I don't want to believe the truth. But give me a movie that's full of fake. Give me World Wrestling Entertainment. Give me all this stuff. And they laugh. We're close. You think about the Romans the Roman emperors, give them games and give them bread and we own them as slaves. And we are rapidly approaching that phase of life. So the angel says to Lot and his wife and single daughters, hurry, escape there. So, you know, I'm skipping over all the stuff that happened with the guys trying to rape the angels and all that stuff. But you've got to get out of town. You've got to get to the city of Zoar that you've talked us into letting you go to. For I cannot, these angels cannot bring the judgment of God until you arrive there. Until the God-fearing person gets out, the judgment can't come. Until the God-fearing church gets out of this world, the judgment that's coming in the tribulation period cannot come. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. And again, it's probably completely destroyed. And, you know, it's just amazing. I'm sure the people in the days of Noah, they laughed and jeered at Noah and his family building the boat, laughed and jeered, thought he was kidding that a rain was coming, a global judgment. Same thing here. But when judgment comes, there's no more laughing, there's no more joking, there's no more jeering. Because the deception doesn't matter what they believe about the Word of God. The Word of God's going to come true. Verse 26, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And that's where we ended last week. And how come? Why did she become a pillar of salt? The angels took her out. Why? Because she looked back. You know, there's so many people. Again, this pastor, we used to be preaching Jesus. Now he's decided to go somewhere else. I don't know what makes him think that, but why does he want to go back to the Garden of Eden? Why does he want to go back to the deception of we get to be somebody? I can't understand it. We studied on Wednesday night. We studied 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul is laying out the whole thing with the Jews, how all these Jews came out of Egypt. They left slavery. They all went through the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aqaba, with water on each side, baptized in the cloud and in the water with Moses. And they ate of the spiritual bread, manna. They drank of the spiritual water, Jesus, who opened the rock to bring water. They did all of these things. See, they followed Moses, but their heart was always going back to Egypt. As soon as something happened, you know, make the golden calf. Moses is taking too long. Make the golden calf. We need somebody to take us back to Egypt. Instead of just trusting in God. Trusting in Jesus and what he had said was going to be happening. And so they didn't believe. They didn't know God, and God didn't know them. They just wanted a rescue plan. A lot of people look at the church. I'll belong to a church as long as you heal me, as long as what you tell me gives me a better job and gets me more money and everything else. And when it doesn't happen, then they're back in the world. But you get somebody, you need Jesus, you need a Savior, then anything can come into their life. If they believe that and they trust in that, nothing matters because they have a hope of everlasting life with Jesus in heaven. Nothing matters. They don't turn back. Wednesday night, you know, we emphasized the entire generation that came out of Egypt following God for a while died in the wilderness in unbelief. We don't want to be that way, right? And here, it's really simple to not be that way. I'm in love with Jesus today. I'm going to be in love with Jesus tomorrow. The only reason I'm going to church or I call myself a Christian is because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ who washed away my sins. And in exchange for that, I'm going to give my life to him. And I'm going to trust him through thick and thin, persecution or no persecution, rich or poor, better or worse. It doesn't matter because I have everlasting life with my Savior. If you have that attitude, it doesn't. Nothing's going to affect you. You have the attitude of being in one of these churches that are preaching the power and this and that, and their pastor can't even go empty out a hospital, and they listen to all that foolishness, then, you know, they're going to be waffling. They're going to be worshiping the Antichrist in the tribulation period. Because you know what? The Antichrist is going to have power. The Bible says that. With great signs and wonders, he's going to be able to deceive the world. Isn't that interesting? Satan is using the church to set people up that signs and wonders is evidence of God, and then the devil's going to bring the Antichrist with great signs and wonders to what? Deceive people that have been programmed that if it's signs and wonders, it's God. The greatest sign is the empty tomb, resurrected Jesus, power of the Holy Spirit to come in and change us. All the other stuff is fluff and it's full of deception. And that's not to say God can't heal. I often beg God for healing in my own neck situation. But so far he's been saying, my grace is sufficient for you, and I'm cool with that. But I know God could heal me. I've seen him miraculously heal people. And we pray for people. We anoint them with oil in obedience to Scripture. So I don't want to make people think that, you know, oh, the cessation of the gifts, and they're not around for today. They are around for today. But Jesus doesn't want the church to be known for healing. He wants some physical healing. He wants it to be known for spiritual healing. So here we are, 15 minutes left, and we're just starting our where we left off last week. Do you believe in miracles that we can finish what we had planned? Genesis 19:27, and Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. So he left Hebron again in the morning. He leaves Hebron, goes about 3 miles to get the high ground to see what happened, you know, because God had said he was going to destroy Sodom. And then he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw and behold, the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. He watched prophecy fulfilled. It's no surprise for him. God had told him because he knew him. And then Abraham goes, okay, I'm going to go see what happened. Yep, just like what God said. We're not there yet to see everything, what God has said about the last days, but we're getting close. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains. Now, you got to remember that the two angels are sent by God to tell Lot, flee to the mountains. And he says, oh, I don't want to go to the mountains. Send me to that city. It's just a small city. Let me go over there instead. Okay. You know, just get going. Get to the city. And now he goes to the mountains. Why do you think he goes to the mountains? Well, I mean, again, speculation. The Bible doesn't tell us. But imagine a new guy comes into town, Zoar. They probably knew Lot because he sat in the gate in Sodom and Gomorrah. And they said, Lot, why are you here? Well, actually, two angels told me to come here. Why is that? Well, because he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Why is that? Why are you out of there if he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, it's a long story. Why don't we go to bed? You know, and then the sun rises and bam, Sodom and Gomorrah gets destroyed with fire and brimstone. Be a pretty scary place to be. They'd go, you're the reason. And so, anyway, all this to say, possibly out of fear of the people. And so he ends up doing what God says to do when he realizes his wisdom wasn't so smart. See, he said, I don't want to go to the mountains. We told you to go to the mountains. I don't want to go to the mountains. Go to the city. Okay. But whatever it was, he rapidly goes to the mountains. We ought to just do what God says, right? Instead of arguing with him and then finding out that we were wrong and he's right. Now, the firstborn said to the younger, firstborn of the daughters, verse 30, then Lot went up out of Zoar, dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come in to us, as is the custom of all the earth. All of Lot's servants, family members, everything they knew, all died in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the two daughters realized, there is no inheritor of our father's goods, as we need to have children. Does that sound like a good plan? Even before the law, it was sinful to have incest with your father. It's been an abomination to God. Where do you think that idea came from? It came from living in Sodom. You know, if we live in Sodom, you know, we do live in Sodom. We're surrounded by the immorality of this world. If we live in it, it's going to affect us. You know, Lot could have said, I'm going to witness to him. I'm going to be a good influence on the city. Didn't work. Because the world says, I'm going to be an influence on your family. That worked. The world's influence on Lot by living in the midst of letting the perversion of the world come into his family trashed his family rather than him bring the righteousness of God into his city. So, verse 32, come let us make our father drink wine and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. We need to raise up a son that can take our father's name, because everybody else that we could marry is dead. And now, how do you make somebody drunk? You convince them to go ahead and drink. Dad, it's been a tough day. Look at all that's happened, everything else. Why don't you just take a little wine? Take another one. What should Lot have said? No, I don't want to be drunk. No, I mean, God wants my head to be clear. I mean, we've got to think about what we're going to do. We need to double down and worship God. We need to live a holy life. We need to stop. Look at what happened with what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what they do, is they get drunk, they get high, they have sexual immorality. Not us. We're not going to do this. Then what's about to happen would have never happened. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in to lay with her father, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose, so he was blitz drunk. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Then they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Again, no repentance, no like, man, I shouldn't have done that last night. I'm not going to do it tonight. Just, you know, the world creeps into your family, into your life, through the media, through friends, through whatever else. It's going to get you around the throat and strangle you. Thus, both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. And for those that have read the Bible, read the Old Testament, were Moabites and Ammonites friends of the Jews from then on? No. They're constantly a thorn in the side of the promised people, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from then on, because they were born as a result of complete rebellion against God. And by the way, and they live in, you know, they lived in the area of Jordan. What's the capital city of Jordan? Ammon. And it goes back to the Ammonites. The capital city of Jordan is named after the Ammonites. An incestuous relationship with Lot. Okay, if we get anything else out of this, can we just double down on, I can't let immorality in my life? Can we deal with that? I can't let immorality come into my family. I can't let the Sodom and Gomorrah, which, you know, you had to live in Sodom and Gomorrah to get it in those days. Now, it's a click away, it's a screen away, it's a push screen, it's right there all the time. It's in the media. It's in the shows that we watch on TV, the movies that you can download, everything else. If you do it, you're letting Sodom and Gomorrah come into your home. Here's the prophecy. This is application of 4,000-year-old Word of God. This is application to 2019 today. This is what will happen. Chapter 20, verse 1, we'll do just a little bit here. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah into his harem. So now Abraham and go back to Genesis 18:9 again. We've been there already, but it says the angel said to him, including God, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Time of life means 9 months. So Abraham is 3 miles away, roughly, from the hill that lets you look down to Sodom. Possibly he's moving to get closer to the Mediterranean Sea to keep from all the smoke and everything. There was tar pits in Sodom. We know that from an earlier scripture. There could have been weeks, months of just, smoke and everything going up from Sodom and Gomorrah, whatever happened there, and all the tar pits and oil and everything went. And he could have moved. So he's going there. What does he know by the prophetic word of God? In 9 months, I'm going to have a child. And if you read the rest of the chapter, because he's been afraid for his whole life that people will kill him because of the beauty of his wife, even though now she is almost 90 years old, she's 89 years old, he says, "Okay, when we're going to this town, you say that you're my sister," because it was his half-sister. We covered this earlier. Don't say he's my wife, because if you say, he's my husband, they'll say, "Wow, I want to have her in my harem, and so I'll kill him. And so that I can have her all to myself," that the king could have his wife, Sarah, all to himself. Does Abraham have to worry about that? No. He's been told the prophecies of God. He knows God and God knows him, but he allowed his fleshly fear tweak his brain. May God help us to walk in just no fear. I was talking to Mike about this yesterday. The news out of China is that the new edict, because of the social score in China. China has collected all the data from everybody's Facebook and social media, billion plus people, and they plugged it into the computer algorithms, and they've given everybody a social score. And that social score governs whether you can get a loan, get a car, travel outside your city, go to college, all this other stuff. And one sure way to not have a good social score is to be part of the underground church, or to have a Bible in your house, or to have the Ten Commandments up in your house. And so what they've done now, if people are going and saying, "I've got a bad social score," and the cops say, "Well, you can fix that. How do I fix that?" Throw away all your Bibles. Take down your Ten Commandments and get the commandments of Premier Xi, or the head of China. The communist government has what you shall believe, and you put that up on your wall. You stop going to churches. And see, the thing is how can you escape now with the technology? They know if all these phones, they already know who are the Christians. They know, and if they see all the phones congregating using AI algorithms, they can sit there and go, "Oh, all these phones are in the same place. Guess what's happening there?" The prophecies of the Bible say in the last days, nobody will be able to make war with the Antichrist. Nobody will be able to hide from this guy. He will be able to control all the people in the world. For the first time in history, it's all happening. And if anybody throws away their Bible or anything else and takes down the Ten Commandments, puts the sayings of the communist government on their wall and become a good comrade in China instead of saying, "Do with me what you want. I'm not going to abandon my love for Jesus." They're doing what Abraham did. They're just, "Okay, I've got to save my skin. I'm going to forget the prophecies of God. I'm going to forget the promises of God. I'm going to save my own skin. And then God's not so important." Abraham's the father of all the faithful, but he failed. And we could fail unless we prepare our hearts to not be like Abraham. So, But God doesn't let bad things happen because he prophesied you're going to have a child and it's not going to be by Abimelech, the king of Gerar. And so God speaks to Abimelech, a pagan, because Abraham wouldn't just trust him. And we'll pick it up there next week. So I get these phone calls from people, and Jill she's loved the Lord ever since I've known her when she was a little girl. She's been a strong discerner of truth. And yet she was just calling, Kevin, I just don't know what to tell people. I know something's wrong. I know something's wrong with this pastor that's gone off the rails and the other people I'm talking to. And what do I say? The Word of God answers that question. Out of the text that we've been reading over the last few weeks, people are abandoning their faith. We can abandon the faith by believing Make America Great Again is really going to happen. What the Bible says, that the world's going to morph into a 10-nation global empire, meaning America's going away. Do we deserve to go away? We absolutely deserve to go away. If we're out there embracing all this Sodom and Gomorrah stuff, we're going to go away. It doesn't matter that one guy thinks that we can't. And he can do great things. He can do things to start. Look at the onslaught of the evil that has come upon the desire to just not be crazy in this country. And so we can have a hope it's going to really happen. The only hope of it happening would be if the people are saying, we've got to turn away from sin. We've got to stop doing this. We've got to stop just lusting after entertainment and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and pride of life. Is that where the country is wanting to go? No. It has to be, we got to turn back to God. Look at what's happening to us. Look at all this turmoil in our government, everything else. We need to repent and have unity in serving the God who gave us such a blessing. You know, God blessed America. Let's let that be back to we bless God if they would do that. But no. So let's realize that our citizenship is not in America. And it's our Savior that's going to come and make the place great again. When he gives us heaven, and we can rejoice, we can vote, we can pray for our leaders as God commands us to, but my heart has no affections to it happening. The energies are not going to be in it happening because the Bible would tell us the ingredients for that revival are not here. And so then I won't be shocked when something goes contrary to the desire that it would truly take off. Amen. So we can learn that from this study. We know where everything's going from this. We know where it's going. We can look at the effects of sin on a country. And when a country is in deep sin and rebellion against God, and half the country at least is supporting all this evil, then we can't have a hope that there's going to be a change. A big change. Well, there's change here, right? In our hearts. Our loyalties are to Jesus, to his word, to trust him, to have our message be, Jesus is coming, and his kingdom is going to come, and his will is going to be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And you get to be part of it if you bow the knee and worship him as your Savior while you still can. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. God, help us to walk in just serious faith in the days that lie ahead. It appears as the storm clouds gather in so many different ways that troubling times are coming. And yet, Lord, we don't want to be like Abraham and be fearful for our own fleshly lives. Or even for our Chinese brothers and sisters that are suffering amazing persecution not even being able to get a job or whatever, to hold on, that Lord, you would, if those days should ever come here, that we would just hold on to the truth. No matter how vilified by the government or the world, because we know that in a short time, this world is going to pass away and the lust thereof, but that he that does the will of God will abide forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and worship God.
Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face when we enter in His kingdom. We'll be there by amazing grace. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, mocked and scourged, nailed to the cross. Allowed Himself to die for our sins. Through God's power, He has risen Him again. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Now our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit is our living proof. He opens up our eyes that we may see that Jesus Christ has set us all free. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter in His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Amazing grace. When our life on earth is over, as we meet the Lord above, we'll see Him in all His glory. We'll be blessed by God's mighty love. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter in His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Our sweet home is in heaven. We'll see Jesus face to face. When we enter in His kingdom, we'll be there by amazing grace. Amazing grace, amazing grace. Our sweet home is in heaven.
May Lord Jesus touch everybody in this room with that reality. Walk out and just spend a little time and just tell yourself the final statement. Our home, our sweet home, is in heaven. If we know the door, if the door knows us, if the door knows to open to us, and it is going to be so sweet. I hope everybody here is going to be there forever and ever, along with all those who love Jesus and the saints and times past and all the angels worshiping Him until forever is over. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.